for obvious reasons, talks of the tariffs continue to strike, I'd say, more fear among the average American than comfort, peace of mind, if you will. But interestingly enough, a recent article was published and had a quote from our next guest. And basically what he was saying was to be patient and to not jump to conclusions, to kind of wait to see what happens. And in the short term, it might be painful, but in the long run, these pains are not going to be permanent if the tariffs continue to go through as planned by President Donald Trump. So the guest we have on, I'm very excited to speak with from the University of New Haven, is Professor Jim Moos. And Jim, welcome to the show. Give us your perspective and what you mean when you say there could be short-term pain with the tariffs, but it's not going to be permanent.
Oh, good morning, Melissa. Happy to be with you. It's really kind of interesting what's happening with these tariffs now. There's a lot of talk. They're moving back and forth. They're being adjusted minute by minute. The pain you're going to suffer in the short run might be some increased prices, depending upon what you're going to buy. The long run, if you see, and I don't think this is going to be long run. I think you're looking at 3 to 6 months at the most. In the long run, if the tariffs go in place, okay, and are collected, they're going to be used to either pay down debt or reduce tax rates. So there might, it's going to be a push and then a shove, if you will, for lack of a better term. You may have increased prices, but then other prices and costs will start coming down. And then perhaps all the nations will come together and, balance their trade efforts.
I have to ask you this, Jim, because sure, economists across the country have been, dare I say, freaking out about this. Politicians, obviously, specifically here in Connecticut, have been worried about this. Have you gotten backlash for that view of, let's sort of wait and find out what happens? And even though the pinch might be felt in the beginning, it's not going to be felt in the long run. Have you gotten backlash over that?
No, absolutely not. In fact, a lot of the other news networks are agreeing. Their experts are agreeing with me.
Really? So the reason I say that is because it's interesting. I was reading the Capitol Report, and there was an article, New Britain Mayor Erin Stewart, who recently said she wants to run for governor, or she's exploring a run for governor. She was bashed, I mean, badly, by the news article. I want to say it was either in the Connecticut Post. Don't quote me on that. But she was, or maybe CT Insider, which is all from Hearst Media. She was bashed for having the exact same approach you had. Which to me, I thought was sort of, that to me was sort of premature to say that she's not looking at this logically. But she said essentially what you are, which is we're sort of living in this fear of the unknown, and we have to sort of wait and see what happens. And maybe we'll feel the pinch in the beginning, but in the long run, this could be really beneficial to America. But I mean, she was slammed for that.
Everybody has their opinions, and depending upon what side of the political fence you sit on,
there it is.
Opinions may vary. Okay, all I can tell you right now is I'm looking at the Dow futures, and the Dow futures are up almost 1,000 points. The market's coming back. It may take a while for it, but it's coming back.
Well, you know what I also find really interesting? We've got Professor Jim Moos here from the University of New Haven, who essentially, I'm not putting words in your mouth, Jim, so please correct me if I am, but essentially you're saying, yes, we will feel some short-term pain, but in the long run, this could be really good for America if it's permanent. And we're going to get into the history of it in a second. But you know what I find really interesting is yesterday I was reading that a rumor that the White House was considering putting tariffs on hold actually sent shares surging more than 7% in a matter of minutes. When the president then said no, we're not putting holds on them, it dropped immediately again. And I think that's so interesting that just based on a rumor, we saw such fluctuation. I mean, how does that even happen? And what does that sort of tell you?
The market reacts to rumors. I mean, it's very sensitive. I saw that as well. It jumped up 800 points and then dropped back to 500 or 600 points loss or negative. Yeah, I mean, the problem with all this tariff talk is that things are changing minute by minute. It's a negotiation. President Trump claims to be the great negotiator. He's even written a book on it. But it seems to be working. Because right now, I mean, I read a report this morning that around 50 countries are starting to, they want to open up discussions. That's a good sign. If you don't have to do these tariffs, that's great. If you can negotiate better arrangements, that's even better. So
I'm also curious, Jim, could you speak to the history of tariff talk? I mean, there have been a lot of articles that America has done this before, specifically in the 1800s.
Sure.
I mean, could you talk a little bit about that in comparing it?
Sure. Tariffs are nothing new, okay? By definition, a tariff is nothing more than a tax or a duty on goods or services that are imported from other countries. Basic, okay? They can be thought of as trade barriers that can be used for protecting domestic industries, which is also part of the new administration's plans, affecting trade policies, and while all the time generating revenues. And this is nothing new. In the United States, George Washington signed the first tariff act into place in 1789, although I wasn't there for the signing. So,
you don't sound old enough to be there, Jim. Sorry,
No.
I figured you weren't there.
But that, you know, there's been a series of these acts all the way through. The most significant one of them was what they called the Tariff Act of 1916, the Underwood Act, if you will. Okay, that gave rise to the ratification of what we now know as income tax, which made tariffs much less significant. Mm-hmm. Up to that point, tariffs were pretty much funding between 50 and 90% of the government expenses. And now they're less than 2. So in 1916, that changed. And of course, there was another one in 1930, when they increased tariffs, which caused, they claim it caused the depression. I'm not so sure that's true. But again, started in 1789, and the most significant one was in the Tax Reform Act of 1913 came in as a result of this Underwood Act, which in effect allowed the government the ability to tax income from whatever source derived. Mm-hmm. That gave rise to the new Internal Revenue Code, which has morphed over time into something that's very unwieldy. But tariffs were no longer a big item.
Interesting. Professor Jim Mose is here, Associate Professor of Accounting, Finance, Marketing, and Taxation at the University of New Haven. And Professor Mose, my understanding is you feel like there might be, you know, pain, obviously, in the very beginning of the tariff rollout in America. But in the long run, permanent tariffs may not be such a bad thing. I'm curious, as you look back at history, why were tariffs removed to begin with? Because I know that this isn't the first president to want to bring back tariffs in some regard. I mean, on both sides of the aisle, presidents in the last couple of decades have tried to roll out tariffs, but have been unsuccessful. So what makes this different or potentially successful and why they couldn't roll out beforehand? And why were they ever removed to begin with?
What makes this different, Melissa, is one big item, and that is parity amongst trade between the countries. If you look at what we are being charged to export into countries, tariffs, and what we are tariffing coming in, there's a great imbalance. It's called a trade imbalance. And that affects a lot of things, right? We have to borrow to pay for those imbalances. So we go out to the market and borrow. We've got interest costs and the like. It's all part of a bigger plan. Tariffs have never been eliminated. They've just been put on the back burner. I mean, they've always been there at certain levels. But now it's getting to the point where the amount that we're paying is much greater than the amount that the other countries are paying, and there needs to be some type of trade equality. Why was it put on the back burner? Because the income taxes came in, and the income taxes became the lion's share of the government revenues. So, you know, not a lot of focus was put on them.
Interesting. So then I guess, so you sound logical, Jim, and I don't mean to sound degrading when I say that, but if that's the case, then what is with the outrage? I mean, I understand. Again, I understand that it is an immediate pinch. It is an immediate. But to me, there is such a fear that is being not only put out there by mainstream media, but mm-hmm. by politicians. I mean, specifically here in Connecticut, there was just a massive rally, part of a national rally this past weekend. And we've got our attorney general, our comptroller, our governor. We have our biggest politicians in Connecticut, Senator Blumenthal. I mean, on and on. All yelling about the tariffs and how awful this is going to be and how poorly planned this is and how much the American people as an average are not being thought of with this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a totally different narrative than what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. That's simply because it's party warfare, as far as I can tell. I look at the economics behind it. I don't want to look at the politics behind it. But if you look at who's bringing all the outcry, it's not the current administration.
Right, it's the Democrats.
Yeah, that, absolutely.
Okay.
And look, quite frankly, the tariffs don't even go into effect until tomorrow. And right now, there's a whole bunch of negotiations going on. Things are not always going to happen as they appear. And I get kind of annoyed with the press when they start going off with probably uneducated, and I don't want to say this, but uneducated thoughts about this.
Well, it's fear-mongering.
Yeah,
I'm going to put it bluntly. It's fear-mongering. And you know, it's interesting, Jim. I was in Washington, D.C. this past weekend for a family member's birthday. And there was a very healthy debate that was going on. Republicans and Democrats were sitting at the table. And I sat there and I said, as a reporter, who, by the way, is unaffiliated, I'm never affiliated with a party, I never will, because I don't think either of them are fully right, fully wrong. But what I had said to them was, have any of you gotten your hands on the actual documents of what these tariffs actually look like? Like, so we have a surface idea, but the whole table was silent and both sides were silent. And I said, because what you're doing is you're believing third parties. You're believing other people who are saying you should be worried about this. You should be calling for action. Mm-hmm. But we don't even know what the action looks like. We don't even know. Even the press corps who is in the White House questioning the Trump administration, they don't know. So where are these headlines coming from? Where is the fear coming from? And I did use the quote, because this is a stat, you can look it up, that 95% of the things that people worry about never come to fruition. So why even do that? Why even put that out there? Why not just take a step back? Whether you like the guy or you don't, whether you like the administration or you don't, why would we lead with the foot of fear over patience? That's my question.
Just to muddy the waters.
Okay.
Just to muddy the waters. I mean, and where is this mostly coming from? The losing party. Okay. I don't agree with this. I'm not political. I mean, I look at these things factually. I practice because this is what I practice and this is what I teach. Equal, fair, balanced discussion. But I think that Trump derangement syndrome, as it's been called by the press, has taken over better judgment. You really have to think these things through. The cause and effect. This whole Trump tariff thing is just part of a plan. All right. And there are a lot of other things like protectionism that are coming into protecting American industries, building America. So it's all coming together. There's probably a 3 or 4 part plan in this. Tariff's just one of them. Mm-hmm. That's just a vehicle to get to them. Because what I said when I opened, I said, basically, you can think of tariffs as barriers that can be used to protect domestic industries. Achieve trade policy objectives while generating revenues, equilibrium revenues, right? Foreign countries are generating more revenue from us than we are from them. Parity out in the markets. I mean, there's a lot of things going on with this. I don't know why people are running so scared at this point. You have to sit, again, you have, I don't know, my thought is you have to sit back and watch. So far, it has morphed into 4 or 5 different, or even more, different tariff scenarios in the last month.
Yeah, and again,
nothing has been put in place.
Nothing has been put in place. And I also have said no one, unless you're behind those closed doors of the administration, has been given a copy of what this actual plan looks like.
Exactly.
So it's to me, it's a lot of jumping the gun before we even know the facts in front of us. Jim Mose, I want to thank you so much. Again, Associate Professor of Accounting, Finance, Marketing, and Taxation at the University of New Haven. We appreciate your insight and discussion here on WICC.
My pleasure.
All right.
Good to talk with you.
You too, my friend.